The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga on our Christmas show this morning. And what better guest to have on the Christmas show than my favorite guest and one of my favorite people, Kim Weir. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Rick.
And just to remind people that you are the Director of Strategic Growth for the Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga, and you do a great job.
Well, you are so kind to say that. I am honored to be a part of the team, of the herd at Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. And you are one of our greatest ambassadors helping us tell the story of
what
we do. Well,
I try. But not only, you know, are you glad to be part of that, but they started an award that you can tell us about. And you were the first recipient of a volunteer award, which I think is fantastic because you do so much. You're never in one spot for more than 10 seconds. I've tried to take you out to breakfast after the show for 2 years now, and you just don't have the time, and you're so busy. So it saves me a little money at Compton's, but it's
2026. Great. We're doing it. We're going to have breakfast. I love breakfast. I just don't often get it.
I know. Well, tell us about that award because it's really something special.
Well, you know, what a year it's been, as you said, and what a honor it was and remains to have experienced this this award, which was actually was created by the organization that I do my volunteer work for. Is the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy, and I love that organization. I love all they do, and they are the organization that created this award. The award is called the Nancy Kelly Volunteer Award. Nancy Kelly was an amazing woman, beloved by everyone who knew her, clearly, and I've learned a lot about her without ever having had the opportunity to meet her myself. She, by her day job, was working for the Jockey Club, and she was also on the board of the chaplaincy, and she was clearly a force of nature, and she clearly threw herself into the work of caring for people on the racetrack, at the racetrack, with all of her might. And so this award was created to honor her. Well, that's the part that sort of got me through all the emotions that came with this award was recognizing that this was, while a lovely, lovely gesture to me, it was really to celebrate the life of Nancy Kelly. And so that is what the luncheon did. Tom Durkin was our MC, and I mean, he was in top form. He was just amazing. He's such an amazing speaker, but he just loved Nancy Kelly, and he told her story in ways that, you know, really left an impression on everyone there. And then we had a great group. We were at the Racing Museum. It was so kind of them to host this. As you kind of indicated, it was the first year they came up with the event. So it was the inaugural celebration of Nancy Kelly and the Volunteer Award. And it, just so many people turned out. My family travel. I had friends come in from Texas. And then ultimately, the part that got very emotional for me was that my very dear friend Ramon Dominguez, who is the president of the board of the chaplaincy, actually introduced me. And this was one of these pinch me surreal moments when you have a Hall of Fame jockey standing in the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame introducing you. And I was a puddle. I was just a puddle. It was such an emotional thing. So he introduced me, and I was very grateful. And then I was given this beautiful award. I'll show you a picture of it. It was so, not only was just the concept lovely to celebrate volunteerism, which is what we were celebrating. Let's be clear. We're celebrating Nancy Kelly volunteerism. And I just happened to be the person who got to receive the the present, which was great. It was, it's a basically a great big Breyer model horse.
Okay.
But it's, there's an artist, I wish I brought her name with me this morning, but she's painted this horse with scenes from the backstretch.
Oh.
So it's much like the horses what you used to have around Saratoga, that were all painted.
Yeah.
It's a miniature version of that, but all of the scenes are of backstretch scenes.
Oh,
so it's just
nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So long and the short of it, I was very honored. I was given the opportunity to stand at the podium and say a few words about volunteering, and that I loved doing. And the whole day was just very joyful. It was very emotional. I will also say that I've now learned a lot about honoring people at luncheons. I've done it a few times. I've hosted events where someone's been celebrated, and I honestly haven't really thought that much about what it feels like to be the person. And it was a joyful thing, but it was a very emotional thing. And I've told my friends at the chaplaincy, I can't wait till next year when I can just help them host the party and promote someone else.
Well, I mean, it's a great honor for you to get that award, and a great honor to be the first recipient. And Ramon is a terrific man, and his wife Sharon, they're a great couple.
Dearest friends, such wonderful people.
And they're sweethearts. And you're going to do a show next year with Sharon.
Yay!
And together, because we've been trying to get that down, and things have...
Well, if you think I'm tricky to schedule, you should try to schedule Sharon to make it. My goodness, that woman does it all.
I know. The therapeutic horse farm and... in Saratoga is on Route 29.
Yep.
And I had a chance, you had a program, Horseplay,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be revamped. And I had a chance to take Barbara, who was a friend of mine. She got great marks at Hudson Valley and graduated to come back to Skidmore. So I gave it to her as a gift. And I'll tell you what, she is going to remember that experience for the rest of her life. It's great to get to that farm to see what you do, and it's amazing. But once again, the horses shied away from me, as they always do, so I sat on the other side of the fence just taking pictures. So
well, remember how that story ended, though, Rick. I'm not going to let you off the hook there.
Well,
it is true that you kind of manifested that you said, well, the horses always turn away from me.
Right.
And when you say things like that, the horses are actually going to turn away from you. And then I'm just going to out you as you were paying attention to something else. I think it's because I was trying to take pictures of you, and as opposed to you taking pictures of the horses and of Barbara. And as you started paying attention to something else, me... That horse, which one was it? Do you remember which horse came up and snuck up and snuck up behind Rick? And when he wasn't exuding that, oh, the horses always walk away from me. This little horse walked up to the fence, put his head over the rail, and started nibbling on your shoulder or your ear or something, whispering sweet nothings in your ear. And that's my favorite picture.
I think that was Mia that day.
Okay. That's right. You're right. Sorry.
Because she was laughing because we had gone to the McMahon farm. I had taken her there, and the same thing, you know, I go up there. Of course, she has a way with animals anyway, but in any case, it's a great experience to get to the farm and see what they do. People don't realize that there's so many facets of horse racing, and not just betting on the horses, and they don't know about that. And I think if the people that are so against horse racing can see what goes on in the whole scheme of things, they probably have a different outlook.
Yeah, well, it is a very, it's very true. I think that's true of almost any issue you can think of, right? Is if you have all of the information, it looks a lot different than just having one piece of the information. And the amount of energy, effort, resources, and just full tilt love that is invested in the horses by so many people, from the minute the horse is born at McMahon's farm to the moment they go to the racetrack and learn, meet their first trainer and exercise rider, and then all the way through to what we do, which is when they're retired. There are so many people caring for so many horses. There are exceptions, and the exceptions are worthy of recognizing and shining a light on them and addressing them, but they are not the majority. And you're right that if people could see the whole, I think they'd feel a lot better and also know that it isn't all bad.
No. Hey, did you, on a side note here, did you get to see Anise this summer?
you know, again, talk about in the hierarchy of people who are hard to pin down. Anise is such a busy, busy bee. But I did see her. I laid eyes on her. I'm trying to remember the couple times I saw her. But did you know that she's had some really big news?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, at the time in the summer, she told me she got engaged, I think.
Well, we were all waiting. I think that okay. even she might have honestly been waiting at all that right. point. But he popped the question. Okay. It's official. It she and Will are engaged, and it's super
yet.
Exciting. I bet they have, because I think that this was not a surprise to anyone that this right. happened. but she is doing great. I didn't get to Kentucky this year. Well, I was there in April. That's not true. So I was right. there in April, but I didn't get back in the fall, which I'd hoped to do. But she is doing really, really well. I mean, what she created.
She came up to give me my annual hug.
Good, good.
Wanted to know how I was and sent me a card in the fall to see how I was doing.
Great.
I think she found out that I have this problem and was in the hospital. And she sent me a card.
Oh, she's so
yeah,
sweet.
She is. I mean, I'll tell you, a lot of the kids that I met with the Saratoga Special that are upstairs and the ones you've introduced yeah. me to have kept in touch.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're just great.
Well, you're
people.
A part of their story and you're part of what made them love what they do. Anise, you know, is what she's created is a nonprofit called Amplify Horse Racing
right.
for folks listening, that it is designed to help young people who want to find roles, jobs, careers at the racetrack and in the racing industry to find the path, because it seems a bit exclusive. It seems a bit like a club, or it seems like you have to be related to someone. And Anise, who came from the Dakotas, I forget whether it was south or north, she didn't have any of those connections, and she found her way to that Saratoga Special internship. Her mom drove her from whichever Dakota. She met you, Rick, and you make such an impact on people because they realize that it is like the old, the Navy phrase, it's not just a job, it's a lifestyle.
Right,
that's what
is.
The racetrack is, and she's gone on, and now she's opening doors for young people all over the country, and you played a big part of that.
Well, you know, it's funny because you don't realize that, and I certainly don't give myself any credit, but Tim, he was a big, tall, young guy.
What a sweet guy.
And he came
I saw him
back,
this year. Yep.
You know,
Chicago, I think he's from.
For a whole day, he is, and he's doing TV, I think.
Oh, that's great.
And no, he's in Connecticut now.
Oh, good.
From Chicago, but in Connecticut. And he stayed by me the whole day.
Oh.
He wanted a...
Like a day in the life. Well, that would be fascinating because you see everybody from your perch.
I thought he would go to, because he had a seat, but he said, "You mind if I stay with you today?" And I said, "No, Tim,
that's
fine."
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I was introducing him because he is a really neat kid.
Oh, he's a great kid. He wrote a story about the TRF Second Chances program the summer that he was with the Special. It was just right. beautiful. He really just embraced the story. It's those Clancy brothers. I almost brought my Saratoga Special coffee mug. You should tell them that I did. This is my Keeneland mug. But they clearly have a great interview process, because when they hire an intern, it just are hiring a future star. That's just what they do. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And we lost a good member of the Saratoga Special team who was the youngest intern for the Saratoga Special at 67, I think.
And then he stayed, right? And he stayed an intern for 20 years or something.
He was a great guy, and we're going to miss him. But anyway, let's get back. You had an event last Saturday, which you were supposed to be on last Saturday, and I had a conflict. And,
no, that all worked out beautifully for me.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah,
happy to be here today.
Good. Yeah, because you had a big event right after the radio show.
Yep.
Santa and the THS horses at Saratoga Honda.
Yes.
So tell us how that went and if that's going to be kind of like a yearly thing.
Yes, yes. This was actually our second year of doing it. So
okay.
I think we're on track to make this an annual event. And we are so grateful, first and foremost, to our friends at Saratoga Honda, led by Tim and Lisa Higgins, who are good friends of the farm and the herd. And they're really supportive of all that we do, the whole team at Saratoga Honda. They... it was their brainchild. This is their idea, Lisa's idea, is to bring the horses to actual Saratoga Honda right there on the corner of, you know, Route 9 and Crescent. And we engage a Santa. This year it was a good friend of ours. I don't want to spoil it for the kids, but a friend named Bob happens to also have a great Santa act. So he came, and he was there with pictures. We had a photo backdrop, and then we brought the horses. So a little bit just like what you described, Rick, our goal at Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga is to give people that connection to horses, just like that horse that nibbled on your shoulder. We brought two horses. We brought one standard bred and one thoroughbred last week. We brought George, who is a standard bred, and he is the steady Eddie of all the steady Eddies, just such a rock. And then we brought Kid Blast, who is a thoroughbred. He was actually the lead pony at the Saratoga racetrack back in the day after he retired from racing. He was raced by Parting Glass Racing, and then he became the lead pony, and he's been with us for quite some time. He came as George's buddy. He did not participate in the photos, but he was there and he let people pat him on the nose. He did not like the Santa hat that we tried to have him wear, but George just loved it. George acted like, somebody said when they looked at the pictures, that everybody got a printed picture, the families that got their pictures with Santa and George, they said that George looked like he was AI generated because he was just so good. We had him decked out like an elf. He was wearing a elf's collar. He had an elf's hat on. He had a special halter, and he stood there with Santa and each and every family that wanted a picture. It was a little $10 donation to the THS, and we got them all set up, and George just sat there. He kissed all the babies. He didn't mind if the babies were crying or pulling on his whiskers. He was just like the best. So we had over 100 people come through, and we were there from 10 to 12. The weather cooperated. It was beautiful. As we were wrapping up, the snow started to fall, which was perfect. You know,
ending.
It was perfect ending. It was a sign that we needed to be done, but it was a really fun day. And it really, you know, while it was a little bit of a fundraiser, a little bit of an awareness raiser for Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga, I think what we, all of us enjoyed was the chance to share the horses with the community. And so that's what we did last Saturday morning.
Yeah, and to get kids there to get their picture taken and remember the horses, that's great. You know what's funny about horses, and we've talked about this before, that just like humans, not one of them is the same. They all have different moods, different, I call it philosophies. I remember Secretariat was a big hand. And you could do, you could go up to him and pet him. And I was fortunate, you know, I was a teenager, but I came up here. And when he retired, he did a parade around the track.
Wow.
And of course, back then you didn't get as many people as you do now.
Right.
And I got right up to the fence, and when he walked by, I patted him on the behind.
Oh, that's so cool, yes.
And he didn't even flinch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was just such a ham.
Yeah.
But their mannerisms and mentality are different, just like humans.
Absolutely. Every single horse at our farm, I always say they all have a story, just like we do.
Right.
And they all have a personality. And they have moods. They have a personality, which is one thing. And then we have moods, which we all know are something else, which you can be the sweetest one ever and you can have a bad day. But yeah, they were, it was so much fun to be there last Saturday. And we're so grateful. And we really do, we have every anticipation. Last year, we actually brought our miniature horses.
Okay.
This year we brought the big horses, but Tim and Lisa and the whole crew at Honda seem to like having us. And so we hope to be there again next year. I'll make sure you have the date. We'll try to get me on
before
so that folks can come.
Yeah, do that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll put it in my calendar for.
Yep. And I think it's been the same date these 2 years.
All right.
So
I'll put down the end of October.
Great.
Just so that
we start trying to schedule. Yeah.
Like I said, the thing is that, you know, it's a great Christmas event and make awareness for the farm and the horses. And it gives kids exposure to horses because, you know, like my doctor, she has horses that and her daughters ride every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they even board them here at the Skidmore.
The Skidmore, yeah.
Barns. But you know, I mean, if they're exposed to it at a young age, it stays with them for the
rest
of their
life.
That's me.
Yeah, that is the story of my life, literally. And they're just so grounding. They're just they connect us to, they get us out of ourselves. The horses, they're big, so that, you know, you can't be totally thinking about yourself. Even you with the, you know, you with your camera story, is that once you're thinking about them, everything changes. You know, they're bigger than us. It's like the ocean. I always say a lot of times our farm, the analogy I use when people come to the farm, I just had a group there on Monday, that it's the same way when we go sit by the ocean or a big lake, but an ocean, because I grew up in San Diego.
Sure.
You sit there and you realize how small you are compared to it. And because it's bigger than you, and when it's steady, it's calming on you. You know, the bigger thing impacts the smaller thing. Right. And there's actually science that has been, that's measured the same exact phenomenon between horses and humans. They call it the Heart Math Institute. And they've put heart monitors on the horses and the humans and stood them within a radius of each other. And they, I think it's about 20 feet, is that if a human is within 20 feet of a horse, the horse's heart rate will affect the human's heart rate.
Really?
When everyone is calm, especially when it works particularly well when everyone's calm, because the horse, when it's calm, it will bring our heart rate down and calm us, which is really what we're doing on a daily basis. And even exactly with your horseplay event at the farm, it's trying to give that experience to people because it lets you realize that it's possible to get there. It's possible to get to that calm, even in the craziness and the hubbub and the frenzy of our lives these days. That this group I had on Monday, I'll just jump into them because it's one of our highlights of the year, was we brought many corporate groups out to the farm this year.
Okay.
And they would come to do service projects, which was a great way for them to spend some time together to do something helpful for us. And so this group that came on Monday was actually the team that works at the brand new hotel called the AC Marriott Hotel. It just opened this week. It's on Route 9 next to the Thirsty Owl. It was a new Bonaccio construction project that's been going on for some time, but it opened and it's a hotel. And so my friend Renee Jenkins called last week and the week before last and said, can I bring the group out? We're in the middle of launching this hotel. It's so busy. We're under deadline. You know, we're really, really close. I just want to get them off property somewhere where they can take a breath. And so we did a little tour. It was a sunny, snowy morning. And we stopped and we did this one thing, which I'm sure we did with you in May, is that we stopped all my talking for a minute and we just closed our eyes. We looked up at the sunshine and we listened to the farm for like 2 minutes, not very long. But just to be still and to be quiet and to listen to the horses munching on their hay, to listen, you suddenly realize you can actually hear a bird if you stop talking. I don't do that often because sometimes you hear the road, but you just realize that you can do that. And so I took a picture of the group standing there like a bunch of sunflowers staring up at the sunshine with their eyes closed. And it's just a gift to be able to share that with people.
Sure. And again, I just can't tell you how much fun that Barbara had that day. When it was over, because the girl gave her a little extra time because they didn't have anybody booked right after her. And, just brushing the horse and talking to it and petting it and walking around with it. And then she showed her some other horses. But looking at the farm from my vantage point where I was sitting while she was doing her thing, I mean, it's beautiful. You look down and you could see another barn with horses outside it and then the miniature horses. And it was awesome. I mean, and it was a beautiful day.
Good. I love it when people come on beautiful days.
It was really nice. Hopefully, you know.
I'm hoping we didn't have anybody there yesterday. I was not there yesterday and that was not a beautiful day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, wasn't it yesterday tough?
That was the weirdest day. Wind, rain.
Oh, my gosh. The wind, even in the night, our dog was scared to death.
It was howling. Yeah. It was howling,
but,
yeah.
Better than Hawaii, though.
Yeah.
Mia was telling me that they had like 6 days of rain, sometimes an inch or two an hour, and there are floods all over the island.
That's crazy.
That she lives on. And the weather's been a little crazy, but they predicted this early because of the.
Yeah, they knew that was coming.
High and low and the pressure systems and that. But you know, you talk about how they can monitor horses and humans. That brings to me a subject of the veterans program and how much horses can do for veterans that have the PTSD syndrome and even people that have issues, how a horse can make an impact in their life.
That program, which we call our Freedom Rein program, is really such an important part of what we are doing out at Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. And it's sort of our part of our origin story is that as our founder, who is Dr. Erin Sisk, a child psychologist who founded THS with her husband, she started as a therapist who had horses. But realizing how impactful horses can be on humans, she was moved to do more and to specifically find populations that would benefit from that kind of therapy. And veterans were just the first group that she pursued. And she pursued that by reaching out and applying for a grant with the Veterans Administration, because they have a lot of resources, and they're trying, and we all know that they would keep trying even more to serve and to assist these veterans, these individuals, these men, these women who have given their lives in service to our country. So the VA grant, when we received the VA grant, which didn't happen right away, and it was not an easy thing to attain, especially for a brand new startup organization. But Erin was persistent, and she knew that what she was doing with the horses and the therapist was working. So she was determined. And when that first VA grant came through, it really changed the THS organization, because suddenly we had the ability to offer this service to a community in need, you know, at scale, basically, because the grant was a six-figure grant right away. The first grant we ever had was a big grant, and it said we can provide our services to any veteran at no cost. And we've been doing it ever since the first grant came through. So what we do, it is absolutely built on that same premise, that connection. We call it the horse-human connection. And our veterans program is also leveraging some other science, which is a research project undertaken at Columbia University that was funded by a really interesting man, Ambassador Earl Mack, who's been involved in the racing industry forever.
Is he on the board of NYRA?
He has been. If he isn't now, he certainly has been.
I think he might still be.
Yeah, he's a really influential man with a passion for horse racing, but also a really strong passion for people. He funded the research that Columbia University did to measure the brains of veterans who had gone through equine assisted therapy.
Really?
To scientifically measure the impact. I mean, this is incredibly important because it takes a lot of resources to do things like that. But it came together in something called the Man O' War Project, named after Man O' War, famous racehorse. The researchers that we know quite well, the THS team works with them pretty closely, they basically put down on paper like the recipe, we call it a protocol, for how to use horses with veterans in order to accomplish meaningful changes that are measurable in their mental health. So we use that Man of War project, the protocol. We use that at the farm, and it's an 8-week group so that it builds upon itself. It's kind of like a cumulative journey that the veterans come over every week at the same time, and they are usually 6 to 8 of them, small group, and they come at once. They don't necessarily know each other, and they go through week by week learning more about the horses, and not just from the outside of the fence. They're much like when May came and did her horseplay, right inside the round pen with the horses. And the goal is, over the course of the 8 weeks, week by week, the individual and the horse are establishing trust. They're establishing a relationship, and they're working towards a connection, which on the last day is this pretty powerful thing that happens when the horse and the human look at each other. And for these veterans whose lives have been so dramatically impacted by what they've done in service to our country, they've often lost the ability to connect with people and animals. And that's what the horse is rebuilding, is their ability to know that it's possible with the horse. If they can do it with the horse, then they can walk out the door of the farm and think, maybe I can do this with my child. Sure. Maybe I can do this with my spouse. We are serving veterans every day at the farm, not always in group. We do this in one-on-one individual sessions too. It's always at no cost. I do want veterans that are listening right now, or family members of veterans, or friends or colleagues of veterans, if you know someone who has served our country that might be in some ways struggling with some mental health issues, to just know that we are there and we are available to support this incredibly important community.
You know, I think that's great. And it is, I mean, my father-in-law was in World War II, and these people went in at like 18, 19 years old, and there's not many of them left, but a lot of vets today served in Korea or Vietnam, Afghanistan, and, you know, they come home. I don't know how you can go through that. I never got drafted. I mean, I say I lucked out in Vietnam, but that has to be like one of the worst experiences you can have. I know my father-in-law was in, it's funny, he enlisted, right after high school, a busload from Saratoga went down, he went to Texas, and he's allergic to dirt.
Gosh.
So they said, well, we'll send you someplace else, you know, and they sent him over to France for D-Day.
Wow.
And he got off the boat, he was in the second wave, I think, got off the boat with one on each side, two vets, and both of them had gotten shot in the head.
Right.
Except
away.
My father-in-law. And he doesn't, to this day, know, he's, God spared him, you know.
Yep.
And then he was in the Battle of the Bulge, which was a terrible thing. He was involved in laying the largest field of landmines. And you go through that as an 18, 19-year-old kid. And even in Vietnam or Afghanistan or whatever, you've got to come out of that with a problem.
Yeah.
So this program is fantastic to help. And, you know, I'm bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's young kids. I probably had it all my life, never got diagnosed until I was in my 50s. But there have to be a lot of kids that have problems like that that could benefit from that piece of connecting with somebody, you know.
Well, and I'm so proud of you for sharing that about yourself, Rick, because that's a lot of it is just that folks are walking around carrying these heavy burdens alone.
Yeah.
And not... when you're not comfortable sharing it, you can't ask for help. So,
right.
you know, I'm just
right.
very proud of you. It's a brave thing to share and also help people know that they can talk about it because it's a health issue. And with a health issue, you can find help.
Yeah.
So we want to offer that. And you're absolutely right with children because actually the common ground, I am always like important to say, I am not a therapist. I am a horse person who loves and loves their impact on people. But I observe this stuff all day long and I get to talk about it all day long is that there's a common element of our programs for the veterans and for children, because the common element is that both the veteran and the child struggle to talk about what's causing the trouble. I mean, with a veteran there, it is you said it seems like a terrible experience. It's also one they're very proud of. So it's a very complicated thing. There's so much bravery and pride and service and yet hardship and what they saw. So all of that, but talking about it actually, not that I'm a therapist again, often has run its course or it isn't all that helpful. Well, with children, the same thing, to have a child talk about what is caused this, what they might have seen or what they might have experienced is actually kind of reinforcing it. Whereas then again, not making judgments on how you do the therapy, but
right.
I will tell you this, horses don't need you and don't ask you to say anything.
Right.
It's a non-verbal therapy, which means that the therapist is really only working with the reaction of the horse to the person, just like the horse and you. And that gives them plenty to work with.
Okay.
You don't have to go back and say, tell me about that terrible day when you stormed a beach at Normandy. It can be just, how are you feeling today? And that's the really hopeful, helpful part about our programs is that in that one moment, like that, I'm just keep picking on you, right? That one moment when that horse is nibbling on your shoulder or when May was grooming the horse in her horseplay, then there's that sense of, I can feel that good again. Then it's hopeful. I have some hope that tomorrow it's possible. And that's what we're trying to do with the children and the veterans and really everyone that comes to the farm. And many folks come to the farm for things that are a lot less heavy. And it might just be getting the picture with Santa. You know, George did a little bit of nibbling on some ears. He was a really good boy, but he made a lot of people laugh and he made a lot of people feel, you know, kind of chosen by the horse. And when a big 1,200 pound animal sort of thinks you're cool, it makes you feel pretty cool. And it's a feeling that it sticks with you your whole life. That's what keeps me going. That's for sure.
Well, you know, it reminds me of one thing. Well, I just want to make this announcement first that you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. And if you have a question you want to ask Kim, give us a call at 518-580-5783, and you can ask any questions you'd like. It reminds me of, you know, we've had a couple pit bull dogs, you know, and one passed away, we got another one, and they have a reputation.
Yes, they do.
But they're such nice animals. And one of the stores downtown, I don't know if it was, I don't think the Dark Horse was there yet, but it may have been one of the toy stores there in that area where
Like G. Willikers or
G. Willikers, it could be. Well, they had a kissing booth.
Oh.
On a Saturday.
Oh, cute.
And they had a pit bull in there.
Oh.
And you put in, I think it was a dollar donation, went to the Humane Society.
Good, good.
And you could go up to the dog. There was a sign that says dogs can't hold their liquor.
Oh.
And what it was, you went up to the dog and it would lick you to death. I mean, no matter who you were, and our dog is like that too. She jumps on my lap when I come home.
Aww.
And my gosh, she goes crazy. And I just thought that was a funny saying. They can't hold
their
liquor.
Yeah. I think it's so much the same with that feeling. Like when you walk in the door and your dog is so happy to see you, you know, it just makes you feel better. Like, and that's a real thing. And that's what we're trying, you know.
They love you unconditionally.
Yeah.
I mean, if but anyway. So that's a great program, the Veterans Program, and exposing children to the horses. And like you said, it's very hard for people to talk to other people about their problems. But it seems when they're at peace for a while with a horse or like people in a hospital, they bring animals in because it does brighten up their day and it makes them feel a little more open.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So that's great. Now, I see you have a youth program at LaSalle Institute in Albany.
Well, I will jump in and say, yes, it is LaSalle School,
LaSalle School.
There are two LaSalles. There's LaSalle Institute in Troy, and then there's LaSalle School in Albany.
Oh, okay.
And they are different organizations. They're different entities. LaSalle School is a school for, I think it's only young men, but it is young men who've really had hard life experiences, whether that be from their family coming through the foster system and or having run into law enforcement issues. So they're young, some juvenile, you know, justice issues that LaSalle School really takes on some hard cases. They are really just doing incredibly important work because they're trying to change the trajectories of these young people's lives whose lives are not on a good trajectory. So we are so, so grateful to celebrate the partnership we established with LaSalle School this year. Actually, one of our clinicians previously worked at the LaSalle School, so she was aware of their work and they're aware of her. So it's all about these connections and these linkages like you make with everybody, Rick. And so this year we ran a pilot program with LaSalle School, and they very similar. Actually, we used the same protocol that I just described from the veterans program, the same model of the small group in the 8 weeks. We reconfigured it simply by bringing in, I think it was 8 young men from the LaSalle School that were chosen by their teachers for this really very big opportunity, because these kids are they're troubled kids, and they don't get a lot of fun things they get to do. They don't get to go on field trips. They don't get to go to horse farms, but they were chosen to participate not in like a field trip, but in a equine assisted therapy program. And so that ran this fall, and they came up I almost am at a loss for words, which rarely happens, to tell the story of what happened for these young men was just magical. I think that's what it boils down to. They rose to the occasion. And I think there's so much in this. It's actually, we changed their environment and they responded. You know, they weren't, the farm didn't know, our therapist knew nothing about these kids. I mean, we knew what the LaSalle School was.
Right.
It wasn't like we were, but they didn't know who the individual boys were, just boys getting off a bus. So they were given that fresh start to like be whoever they chose to be at the farm, and then to watch the horses interact with them. So there's this one story, which we've actually now had the chance to capture, of a young man. We're calling him Kevin. That wasn't his name, but we're going to call him Kevin because he was a real person. He was actually, we learned later, the most, what they call dysregulated of the boys. They're all kind of troubled, as I said, but this one was apparently the hardest case, and he was the one that many folks didn't think should even get to come because he was so erratic and unpredictable, but he got to come. And it turns out that Kevin was the one that got off that van, walked up to the round pen. There were two horses there. We always have two horses because they keep each other company. And there were one horse that we have, his name is Q. And Q is often he's described by different people differently. Like you said, they have different personalities and they have different moods. But Q, in the eyes of this boy, Kevin said, this horse is just like me. He is a little bit misunderstood. He has a lot of energy. He's not that predictable, but he's really a good horse, but people don't really understand him. He just connected right away with this horse. And over the course of 8 weeks, my colleague who ran the session was able to see this young man again. She didn't know much about him. Not only connect with the horse, but actually turn into a leader of the group. He would help the other young men learn how to connect. Cool thing is this story was not only wonderful, but it's mostly wonderful because the LaSalle school teachers have given us the chance to tell it. And we recorded, well, what we did actually just this week, we've launched an email. And if anyone visits our website, which I know we will give them in a minute here, there's a little pop-up and it's the story of Kevin. So there's quotes from the teachers and the therapists talking about what happened. And we're so grateful to LaSalle, not only for coming and bringing their students, but also for letting us really lean into the story and to. That doesn't often happen because of the HIPAA compliance and the confidentiality of everything we do. We know that there are lots of good stories happening at our farm all the time, but we can't tell people about them because we can tell them generally, but not specifically. Right. So the LaSalle program is exciting. We are, as we go into the end of the year, we are doing a fundraiser focused on this program because we, with LaSalle, would like to offer it three times next year. There are plenty of boys at the school that would benefit. We know it worked this year. This pilot program was very successful. So we're aiming to raise the money next year, or now this year, so that we can do this three times next year. So it's a cool program.
I've got a perfect fundraiser for you.
Oh, tell me.
You should have the horses at this time of the year do a ballet of the Nutcracker. And I think it could be a wonderful fundraiser.
It would be something to see, that's for sure.
Would participate.
I would definitely pay to see that. I'll tell you my little jump in there. I like the vision of that. I'm going to think about it because we did an event, which isn't the Nutcracker, and they didn't dance. But in Halloween time, we did an event at the farm called Hallow Wellness, which we'll definitely do again this coming year. And that's when I should get on just before these events because it was free. It was at the farm. We had 350 people come. And while it wasn't the Nutcracker, we dressed up the horses in Halloween costumes, the ones that were willing to do this, of course, not all of them. And they loved being dressed up, and they really loved having 350 people walk around the farm in costumes. Oh, wow. So it was a spectacle. We had the little T-Rex costumes. I was personally dressed up like Toothless the Dragon from How to Train Your Dragon. And so it wasn't quite the Nutcracker, but I like where you're going with this because we did have costumes and horses, and it was fun.
Are the horses like calm enough to like be in a parade?
Well, possibly. We took the two miniature horses in the Flag Day parade this year. So they were in a parade and they were great. They loved it. And the big horses are police horses. If you know, the police horses live at our farm. They're not our horses, but they live at our farm. They're in parades all the time. You know, George, as I was telling you, George is the Steady Eddie. Of all the horses we could think, we'd undoubtedly have a couple because to your earlier point, they all have different personalities. Sure. So we certainly couldn't say, oh, sure, they could all be in a parade. But we have horses out there that could.
I mean, I've got this vision in my head.
Oh, good. Tell me.
I get these stupid visions.
I love it. Let them out.
And the Victorian Streetwalk, if they had, like, the Budweiser horses have the bells on them. And because they closed Broadway.
Yeah, I love Victorian Streetwalk.
And if they could parade down Broadway with the bells on and just make a Christmas festive thing and get that. Because there's a lot of people.
There are a lot of people. We did bring the miniatures to 2024 Victorian Streetwalk.
Okay.
And that was great. But, you know, I think it would have been more fun for us doing what you described. We had them in front of a crafter's gallery, which was great. Yeah. But I think walking them is actually easier because being in their little pen with a lot of people coming to them is a little bit intense. But if we were able to walk them around the crowd, that would be
I think that would be fun. That would be kind of neat. And, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Sharing the horses with the people. We're always thinking of new ideas. So you keep those ideas coming.
Yeah, right. You know. Now, you always welcome volunteer groups.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that, they're probably the backbone of the farm.
Absolutely.
And one of the other things I wanted to bring up, we were talking about something, and I wanted to bring up when you were at the Retired Thoroughbred Foundation, it'll come to me, but it was...
the Second Chances Program?
When we were talking about LaSalle.
Yes.
And the kids, you had that program at the Thoroughbred Retirement with the prisoners.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, that changed their lives,
yes.
The ones that were involved in the program. And
there is so much common ground. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
That's what's made me so excited about this LaSalle, is that it's bringing back all of those same experiences, all those same feelings of watching how horses can change the trajectory of a life.
Right.
And these young men are essentially, we're trying to prevent them from being the men at Wallkill that I saw every for years. And that's what this is doing, because it's giving them a chance to realize they don't have to be what the world has already told them that they are. They actually can become something else. And that's what happened with Kevin, is he realized he could be a leader. Yeah. He doesn't have to be the troubled kid. So you're so good to remember that. That's why I've been particularly passionate about this program. I say, like, this is my why, which is that horses can change the lives of young people.
Sure.
They changed the lives of me, and I had every advantage a child could have.
Right.
But, you know, as we like to tease, I was extremely shy and extremely introverted. And for better or for worse, the horses fixed me. And now,
they honestly did.
And now there's no putting that genie back in the bottle.
Well, that's great. And it just shows the power of a connection.
That's
exactly
right.
That's fantastic. So, volunteer groups,
I love
corporate
volunteers.
Groups. Obviously, your job is to try and solicit that.
Yep.
And how do you find most groups that you approach? Are they welcoming to the program?
Yeah, that's a great question, because what is most amazing, I mean, this is a time of year, right, when we give thanks, and I am thankful for being here with you today. I'm thankful for the opportunity to talk about what we do, and I am thankful for the fact that this year, and I brought my binder. I mean, you know, when on radio can't see a binder, but I'm showing Rick my binder. This is the coolest thing. This is all of the groups that came to the farm this year. 53 groups of people.
Oh, my.
School groups, corporate groups, church groups. I mean, it was amazing. And so to your actual question, they found us. Like, this has been an amazing year, because we basically, I say it's like we turned on a spigot and we didn't really know if there was any water. Yes. There is water, because by making ourselves available, making ourselves approachable, and essentially it comes down to like one button on our website. When you go to our website, thsaratoga.org, and you go to the services page, there's something called farm experiences. And all you know, people found us. And we just did a little pie chart of how did people find us. Good old Google did a great job. I think I did a few referrals myself. And then a lot of it was word of mouth. But we, to your question, were they responsive? They were responsive, and we didn't even go asking. We just sort of hung out a shingle, and people started knocking on our door. And I'm just so grateful for that, because that's what we want to do. And this year we had over, you know, a couple numbers to throw out there, because we just did our board meeting on Monday. We had 53 groups come. They either came for a farm experience where they were interacting with the horses, or they came to do a service project like picking paddocks or sweeping barn aisles. We had groups from Saratoga Bridges come up to volunteer. Mm-hmm. We had groups from AIM Services come out to volunteer. We had Finger Paint come out and do, you know, we just did all these things. And people came to, and at the end of the day, what we wanted to make sure is they not only enjoyed the peace of the farm that we've talked about a lot this morning, and they've also enjoyed one moment of that connection with the horses. So happily, I didn't have to go chasing anybody down. And we are just as open for people to come next year as this year. So I just want to say, with this format and these amazing opportunities like Talk Saratoga, is that tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your colleagues to check out our website. Because if you want to bring your group to our farm, we would love to make that happen.
And, you know, it's a good time to give this out now that if your website is thsaratoga.org.
That's right.
And you can get information at info@thsaratoga.org, or you get it right on the website. And their phone number is, their phone number is 518-290-6240. And you can always get a hold of someone there. But, you know, I wanted to when you were talking about the corporate things. It's like any business, that if you make people happy, they're your best form of advertising.
That's true.
They'll go out and they'll tell 10 people. And then you, if you get one or two of them, then they'll go out and 10 people. So in business, restaurants or, you know, like I have Maddie on from the Dark Horse.
Great.
And Impressions on two or three times a year. And I do a lot of shopping there for like
me too.
Mia,
just there last night. I saw Mayor last night buying something.
I send Mia and Hawaii a couple packages a year, and but it's because they're a great store.
They sure are.
Their staff are very helpful, and you know, so you tell people about that.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing way to get people
yeah,
to
yeah, it's grassroots. You know, you can call it whatever you call it. It's people telling other people about things they like, which is what we do, right?
Right.
And that's what has happened. So it has really been a great, but it was been a great year. We actually hired one new member of our team, and I want to give a shout out to my colleague Enzo Torino. If anyone's listening, if Enzo's listening, or anyone who knows Enzo, because this is a great example of we knew we had potential to share this farm with more people, but we needed someone to coordinate all of that. I mean, every one of these pages in my binder represents so many phone calls, so many emails, and Enzo just jumped in. He came from the Saratoga Casino Hotel. He was there for years, and he loves horse racing. He didn't know much about working at a horse farm, but he was the right guy at the right time, and what he has done, and over 1,000 individuals are represented in this binder. 1,000 people came to our farm this year that hadn't come the year before.
Wow.
And we're just excited about what next year looks like.
Yeah, it's amazing, and that just shows that a volunteer can do many things.
You
need a lot of little things done.
Oh my
gosh. You know, up to the big things. Before we end, because you're going to finish up, you know, the last couple of minutes on what you'd like to talk about, I want to bring up Uganda.
Okay.
And I know you had gone to Africa. I had another friend, the fella, Bob, that's my white cap there. He's retired, but he went to Africa for a couple of weeks on a tour, like.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us about Uganda.
Yeah, it's a little twist. I said to Rick before we started, let's just throw in a little Uganda before it's over. It's not related to the horses, but it was a really amazing experience when I look back at 2025 and the things I'm grateful for. I am so grateful to have had this opportunity, and I'll do a little shout out to my padre, my dad, who's probably listening down there in Florida right now. He made this possible for me because he is a big traveler, and I've always been a big traveler, and I was presented with an opportunity to it just sort of landed in my lap at the right time to go on this trip to Uganda. And Dad, thank you for giving me the chance to go. I went with an organization that's a local group. They would be another good group to put on your radio list, my friend Rick, called the Giving Circle.
Okay.
They are locally based, and they have several different focus areas for their work. And two of them are very local, and then one of them is Uganda. So I participated in the one that's a little far away, but the Giving Circle has been working in Uganda for many years, and they focus on education and healthcare, and these are two areas that change the lives of people, change the lives of young people. When people have education and when people have healthcare, their lives are brighter and more possible. So I went with the Giving Circle, and I went on a service trip in the end of June. It was right after Belmont, but before I missed the 4th of July meet, which was
sure.
No big deal because it was
okay.
a small meet.
That's all right.
And I was there for, I really was only there for 10 days, but it's like I packed a year or lifetime worth of experience into this thing. And I'm so grateful to the team at the Giving Circle for not only the years that they've been doing work in Uganda, but the fact that they put together a trip where people like me who had no experience with Uganda or this kind of volunteering were welcome and made to feel a part of the team. I had a role to play, which was basically to carry two big suitcases full of clothing and medical supplies. I went on my trip with a backpack, and then our luggage was all full of supplies. My first job was to be a carrier for stuff. And then the second role was that when I was there, I was just trying to be cheerful and helpful with my hands ready to do whatever was asked. And the things we did were we worked at two schools. We had projects at each of the schools. We painted a classroom at one of them. We did clothing distribution at both of them. And then we also supported a medical clinic where half the trip were comprised of doctors who tried, which was not me. They were doing immunizations and testing, and the rest of us were entertaining the kids and keeping people happy while they waited in line. I just want to say it was a life-changing experience. It was, for me, if nothing else, it taught the one thing that we all know, but sometimes we have to be retaught this lesson, is that to change someone's life, all you really, really have to do is show up and look them in the eye and tell them that you care.
Sure.
And that's what we did in Uganda, and it was a gift.
Well, that's, I know you were sending pictures, and so I kept up with you on that. And if anybody wants to listen to the show, or you think they'd be interested in listening, they can go to the show at SaratogaBroadcasting.com, and then the podcast, we call it a podcast on there, are in order by date. Or you can go to YouTube and type in Talk Saratoga, and the shows are uploaded there too. So, Kim, before we go, we have probably a minute and a half. Why don't you finish up and give us, you know, what information you'd like to put out there for the end.
Oh, well, thank you, Rick. Well, I just want to say thank you. That's my most important message this morning, is thank you to you. And thank you to everyone listening who is involved in any way with Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga, our incredibly dedicated staff, our amazing board of directors, our incredible volunteers. So many volunteers do so many things. And of course, those who contribute financially in addition, who enable us to do our work of helping horses and healing humans. I just want to finish by saying we are grateful. I am grateful to be a part of the team. The organization is grateful to be a part of the Saratoga community. And we are excited about 2026 and all of the ways that we can share the horses with our community. We hope that horses make us better, and we hope to do that more in 2026. So learn more about us at thsaratoga.org. But my final word to everyone on this 2025 radio show is thank you and happy, happy holidays.
Yes, thank you. And, again, their phone number is 518-290-6240. And go to SaratogaBroadcasting.com, or tell your friends to go there and share some of these experiences. And Kim, you'll be on again, as you always are.
I can't wait.
And
we'll have breakfast next time.
We'll have breakfast. And I tried to take you out for Christmas breakfast, and once again, I was denied. Oh, but yeah, so, you know, have a Merry Christmas and best to your family.
Thank you, Rick. Okay. Merry Christmas to you. Thank
All
you.
Right. You're welcome.